Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What will our planet be like in 2199? How will we connect with other corners of our galaxy? The answers to both those questions and more come forward tomorrow night on Pandora, the CW's new adventure saga. Executive producer Tom Vitale joins me next. The kind of start-to-finish coverage offered in recent weeks on such events as Wimbledon and the Women's World Cup soccer tournament comes for the first time to an iconic annual gathering, the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo, live from Cheyenne, Wyoming. You can find this programming on the Cowboy Channel and learn more next half hour from Cowboy executive Joe Liguro. Also ahead, news notes and our classic trivia question of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival and the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Happy 9th of July to you and all, and welcome once again to the program All About Television. 84 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. It's hot, but it's not humid, and no blackouts, and we're happy to have you with us. Got a great hour in store for you. We have a guest here in New York, a guest next half hour from Fort Worth, Texas, and we want you involved as well. How? You pick up the phone, you dial in, and you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers good anywhere are catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. We've got our chat room open for business. It's SimonApple04 by name. We already have somebody in that room, and you can find that room at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. Tom Vitale from Pandora on the CW, which premieres tomorrow night, live with us from here in the Big Apple after these news notes. Training Day director and the resident on Fox executive producer Anton Fuqua has a new multi-year TV development deal with independent venture Propagate. Fuqua will oversee new scripted and unscripted series and miniseries through his Fuqua Films company. Neil Cross, the creator of the popular drama series Lupus starring Iris Elba, is ready to start his next project. It will be Because the Night, a 4-episode miniseries in association with British TV entity ITV. Mystery and supernatural themes will be explored, probably available in 2020. And for the first time in years, ABC will deliver an original Christmas movie to its network viewers. Lea Michele of Glee fame will star in Same Time Next Christmas, a sweetheart reunion tale set in a Hawaii resort. ABC's Dish Network Freeform will make the film through its studios unit. And that is news notes for today. A year ago, the CW introduced a sci-fi saga called The Outpost. This year, they got another one, and it has a very unusual story about how it got made and what it's all about. It's called Pandora, and it premieres tomorrow night on the CW at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Joining me live here in New York, one of the executive producers, Tom Vitale. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Simon. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
It is a pleasure. We've known each other from a previous life covering the world of television and you being in the field, so it's great to get back in contact with you after a good long while. And how did you get involved with this project? It's very unusual because unlike most CW shows that have a major studio behind it like Warner Brothers or a major independent company like Lionsgate, this is a trio of independent companies getting together for the first time.
Yeah, I think, CW and the industry, I mean, tomorrow will be televised. The industry is changing fast, and independent companies are making a lot of really high quality, a lot of really good product, a lot of really good shows and movies. And, you know, we've been talking to a lot of different networks and a lot of different outlets looking for the right place for Pandora. We had Mark A. Altman, who is the showrunner, created Pandora. He wrote the script, and I fell in love with it and just started shopping it around with Mark. And we showed it to our friends at CW, and they thought it would fit perfectly in with CW's programming.
Yeah. Mark, by the way, is very well known for his work on two hit series, one being Castle on ABC, the other being The Librarians on TNT. What about Mark's writing or Mark's creation did the CW fall in love with?
I think Mark is such an expert in this genre. Mark knows science fiction. Besides the television work that Mark has done. He has published many books on sci-fi programming. He's done the oral history of Star Trek, a huge two-volume set that came out a few years ago that's just brilliant. The oral history of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the oral history of Battlestar Galactica. He's got an oral history of James Bond series coming out later this year. So Mark is somebody who loves the genre. And I think to do the genre well, you need to have a passion and a love for it. I spent a number of years programming the Sci-Fi Channel and Chiller Network. And, you know, part of the reason I stayed there for as many years as I did is because of how much I love the genre. I loved, you know, playing and telling in that genre, telling stories in the science fiction, fantasy, supernatural world. And Mark, someone else who has a real passion for the genre. And when you understand science fiction, you can tell the story in such a way that will connect with viewers who like those kinds of stories. And I think Mark is just the perfect person to be the showrunner for Pandora. One other important thing to note is because it's a CW show, it's also got to be a show that connects with the CW audience, which means it's not just core science fiction fans who like it, but the show is very much about relationships. The show is about the characters and how they interact with each other. And I think that's such an important part of the world of Pandora. Mark has created this incredible world, this deep mythology, but in that mythology, you'll find a lot of relatable characters, young men and young women, you know, trying to find their place in the world, who they are, and you know, and we follow their loves and their lives. So it's a show that will work for the science fiction fan, but it will work for the general viewer. And the CW viewer very well, and Mark is steeped, you know, in those fields, as well as the whole team that Mark and I put together.
Mm-hmm. Pandora takes place in Earth 2199. What is the basic philosophy of how we're living that far in the future?
Yep, it's about 200 years in the future. There was environmental disaster in the past, and we've gone out to the stars, and we've reclaimed Earth, however, but we have gone out to the stars, and now we are part of this galactic community of planets and species. And, you know, there are some, you know, there's been some war, and there's been some battles with other species, but we're, you know, like, you know, you would expect we're trying to find peace, and the characters in Pandora go to basically a university, which is the Fleet Training Academy. They're college aged, and they're training to be the protectors of Earth, really. So it's a world that's recognizable, and it's a setting that's recognizable because it's a college campus. But then there's also spaceships and you know, travel to other planets and adventures that they go on. But the base of operations is a college campus. And if you think about it, even 200 years from now, you know, college students and young adults, still the same in many ways, which makes the show very relatable and yet so much fun because of the eye candy, the beautiful special effects, and the adventures they go on.
And in particular, there's a woman who really has her life altered by what she goes through at this training school.
Yes, that's Jax, Eric Starr, played by Priscilla Quintana. And she is our central character. It's very, I mean, the show is you know, is an ensemble, of course, but Jax is our lead, and we follow her adventures. There's a secret. Who is Pandora? What does she mean to the world and to the galaxy? And there's secrets. We peel back the onion every week and reveal a little bit more about Jax and her secret. She doesn't even know who she is. And a lot of the show is about a young woman's search for identity and who she is and how she fits into this, future world. And Priscilla is just incredible in the show. She's lovely. She's appealing. The viewers are going to love her personality. They're going to love the energy she brings, the humor she has. But, you know, at its core is an emotional journey of this character, Jax, as she discovers who she is in the midst of the action adventure of the show.
We're talking about Pandora. It's the CW's newest summer series. It's a new excursion into the far future world of science fiction and adventure, and it premieres tomorrow night on most CW stations at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Tom Vitale is one of the executive producers, former executive at Sci-Fi and Chiller, and he's with us today live from New York. This half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Apple, I'm with you live also from the Big Apple, 84 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy you're with us on this July 15th, a.k.a. Eyes of July edition of the program All About Television. We're wrapping up our 12th year on the air this month, going to year 13, first Monday of August. We invite you to be part of the program. All it takes is a phone call from you, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Big two-hour episode coming your way to wrap up the week on Friday. A lot of good people coming aboard. First up, we'll showcase a pilot that was a big winner at Series Fest last month in Denver called Brooklyn Moving Company. It's by Furniture Movers and Sing and Dance as well. We've got the creators. The names are Ryan Hamilton and Isaac Himmelman. They'll both be with us. And then we'll showcase one of the great pioneers of television, the brilliant comedian Sid Caesar of your Show of Shows and Caesar's Hour fame. PBS has a brand new special featuring his work called On the Language of Comedy. We've got Jeff Panzer, the executive producer and the head of the Comedy Hall of Fame. He'll be with us. And then A&E's got a brand new series narrated by none other than William Shatner this Friday night called The Unexplained. We've got the executive producer Kevin Burns with us. And finally, New Voices, an organization from the Humanitas Prizes that has helped get new talent off the ground in television, will be marking its 10th anniversary next year. We'll have an early preview from its managing director, Christine Cahill. It's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, how did Priscilla come your way as the star of the show?
We went through a casting process and, looked at a number of different tapes, but we hadn't found our Jacks yet, and then we saw Priscilla's tape, and then we met with her, and she was our only choice. I mean, she was everything that I think we pictured Jacks to be. I think when you're involved in making a series or movies or a series or movie, that finding that lead character, it's just magic when you find that person, and you know, there's a stroke of luck too to find the person who embodies the character. I don't know where we'd be if we hadn't found Priscilla. So it's just a little bit of television magic that goes into it.
And in fact, the whole main cast is really a lot of newcomers. And for many of these folks, this is their first big TV series, their first big break. Was that by design to try to bring an ensemble together of folks who had not done television or not done television in a big way?
Very much so. We wanted a young cast that was fresh faces that would bring that excitement and that exuberance of youth. I mean, because these are what the characters are these young people who are excited about the opportunity that they've been given at the Space Academy. And we wanted young people who had that kind of exuberance and that kind of energy. And then the familiar actors and the familiar faces will be the guest stars each week. Those will be a lot of fun for both the general viewer as well as some really fun sci-fi guest stars too from great science fiction programming, which I'm not going to no spoilers yet, but there's some great guest stars coming up.
Aside from Mark, in your writing and directing team, did you have people who have been science fiction writers or people who directed science fiction in the past? Or did you decide to go with a writing and directing team that would bring something different to the genre, or bring something new to the ideas raised by the series?
A little of both. I mean, you definitely want people to understand the genre. I mean, you can't do a genre show with people who don't understand how to do a science fiction show. I mean, it would be like a medical show without anyone who understands anything about, hospitals and doctors, or a legal show with someone who has no background. So you definitely need that. But you also need people with a broader, different perspective, too, to bring that kind of balance. And you want a diverse writer's room, and you want a diverse directing group. You want to make sure you have a diversity of men and women and people from different backgrounds, and I think and different experiences, and people done different kinds of work. So I think all of that's important. It's all kind of the when you're planning out a show, you really want to think about each and every one of the aspects of putting a show together to make sure that you get that perfect balance.
Mm-hmm. As I mentioned earlier, this is a co-production of three different entities, Radioactive, Fish Tank, Vital Signs Entertainment, Starlink Television. And when you have three independent companies as opposed to a production company tied in with a studio or a major programmer like Warner Brothers or Universal or MGM or a major independent like Lionsgate or Sonar Entertainment or Fremantle or whatever, how does it impact the way you produce the show and sort of the attitude you take about the production? Like, let's try something that nobody's ever done before, or let's approach these characters these ways. Let's surprise the audience in a particular manner.
I think you get a lot more freedom. I mean, it's a great question. It's very astute of you to the way you phrase the question, and that let's do things that no one's done before. Let's break some rules. Let's have some fun here. You don't have all the rules and regulations of the rules and just following the way things have always been done. You don't have those kinds of strictures and that kind of tradition. You're really trying to break some rules. I mean, look, indie film, I'm sure you're a fan of indie film. Think about the great work being done these days in indie film. And indie television is becoming a thing now, too, as more and more people are trying to. That with so many series on the air right now, and I know your show covers that, with the plethora of scripted TV out there, you really have to start doing things differently just to break out and entertain the audience and say, hey, this is something different, and take a look. You've got to see this. So it was a real breath of fresh air. And I've worked on the independent side. I've worked with studios in the past, and you know, I really enjoy, you know, both, but working independently is just so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Where did you produce Pandora, and what kind of things did you do in terms of special effects?
I'll start with special effects. We have a company called Crafty Apes, who are doing the special effects, and they're a huge effects company, and they do just beautiful work. They've done stuff for Stranger Things and Star Trek Discovery and you know, some of the Marvel movies, and I mean, they're fantastic. You should check them out online. They are. I think the effects in Pandora will blow everyone away. And then in terms of the production location, we looked all over the world for the right location for what Mark had written in the pilot and what he envisioned for the show, and we wound up choosing Eastern Europe. We chose Bulgaria, Sofia, Bulgaria, for Pandora. There are locations there that have never been seen on television before. Just these incredibly unique locations. In the first episode, we shot part of the first episode in this huge cave. And when you're in this cave, the ceiling is so high in this cave. And when you look up, there's these two holes in the ceiling, these two large kind of circles, and they're called the eyes of God, as the sun, shafts of the sun come through there. And it's like you're looking up and that's God looking down at you in this cave. And that's just one of many the locations that we went to. There are brand new futuristic buildings that we were able to use. There are landscapes in Bulgaria that look like the surface of, you know, you imagine on the surface of an alien planet. And then there's also some beautiful universities, and we got to shoot at some universities for the college stuff. And we made a very conscious decision that the college itself would be set on a traditional university and would have some futuristic high-tech classrooms, and kind of the bar they all hang out at is futuristic. But many of the buildings are classic old buildings. And the reason for that is, in 200 years, I expect all the big universities in the world, most of those buildings will still be there. I mean, you know, some colleges and universities are hundreds of years old already in Europe, and we've got some older, you know, classic universities here. I think, you know, what's the most classic? Harvard University in Cambridge. That will still, those grand old buildings, those will still be there 200 years. So we wanted to take a realistic look at the future. You know, the Jetson style, you know, futuristic building that everyone imagines, those buildings will exist, but the old buildings will still be there too. You're going to have the old and the new juxtaposed, kind of like walking through Rome, where you have a brand new office building next to an ancient ruin. The old doesn't necessarily go away. So we wanted a classic university to give that university feel, sitting right next to new futuristic buildings, sets that we built that are futuristic, and these great landscapes that look like alien planets. So Bulgaria gave us the best mix of old and new and futuristic, and the team there did beautiful builds in terms of building the future for us and our vision for the future. So it's a really interesting mix, which I hope viewers will enjoy seeing.
You're hearing Tom Vitale. He's one of the executive producers of Pandora. It's the newest series on the CW as part of their summer schedule, one of the most expansive summer schedules they've had in their existence. And it premieres tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time, leading off that night's programming. Tom joins us here in New York this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Tom and Applebaum with you live from the Big Apple. Happy you're with us for the promo about television, wrapping up its 12th year on the air this month on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. We're our second year on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And if you have a question or comment for Tom, our remaining minutes with him this half hour, give him a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Stars had the second season of Sweet Bitter premiere last night. Stu Zickerman, the executive producer and showrunner, was on our program last Friday. If you missed the episode, check it out on our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, you can check out all of our episodes so far this year there, or check them out in podcast form on iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Go to iHeartRadio.com. Put Tomorrow Will Be Televised in the search bar. Click, and you're in. And don't forget, anytime you like 24/7, you can check out my Tomorrow Will Be Televised columns at MediaNotice.com, the media leadership website read by Jack Myers. You'll catch Jack's commentary and our good colleagues E.B. Moss, Ed Martin, Juan Ayala, Charlie Weiser, Charlie Lemon, and a whole bunch of great, great columnists. That's all for you 24/7. Media leadership in action at MediaVillage.com. Tom, how do you balance the stories between the main character's story, what's going on in the training school, and what's going on in the rest of the galaxy?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? How do we...
Yes, I'm curious how you balance, because you can go any which way with Pandora. You can have the main character story be a focus. You can have, obviously, what's going on elsewhere at the training school on Earth, elsewhere on Earth as well, plus what's going on all over the galaxy.
You have to. I mean, a big part is your lead character, Jax, has to be involved in all the main stories. I mean, she is such a key character, and the reason we're following this particular person in the future as opposed to someone else is that, you know, her secret, which will be, as we talked about, will be revealed slowly throughout the season, is something that will shake the entire galaxy. And I think once you follow her story, that kind of brings you into the stories about what's going on in the rest of the galaxy. And then she's got her team around her, her ensemble team around her, and you follow them and their stories and how what happens in their life sort of dovetails and is affected by what's happening in Jax's life. So you have your traditional A, B, and C stories in every episode. And the show is serialized. So each episode will have an adventure that obviously stands alone. But it is a long serialized arc that will go through the season. So, I encourage people to watch the episodes in order. You can also catch them on the CW app as well as the CW. Because it is a serialized story that we're telling as we're building out the universe of Pandora.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I know that the best science fiction often gets into taking today's themes, issues about our society, and that gives them a science fictional edge, but an edge that leaves a little bit of an atmosphere for us to deal with in our present day. Was there a particular issue that Mark and the writers wanted to bring out at this first season to make sure that no matter what, we want to give a science fiction spin on this issue, whether it was racism, whether it's the environment or climate change or whatever?
I think those are some of the key issues. One issue is diversity and how we're in a future that's kind of a future without labels. You know, people are a little bit more accepted. At least the humans basically accept each other's choices and races and personal choices. But then you use the character of Raylan, the alien character who attends the university, as sort of a metaphor for the quote unquote the other, and how he then faces prejudice. So there's still a lot of metaphor for on a metaphoric level. It is very much about about acceptance and racism and moving forward into the future. The environment, you know, is a big part of the backstory and what we've done to Earth and what we might do, you know, just with everything that's going on in the world and the population, overpopulation and deforestation, you know, what has happened to the Earth, you know, over the next, what will happen to the Earth over the next 200 years. And, you know, but it's hopeful to show because we don't show, it's not, even though the environment plays a key part to the backstory, this is not a world that's kind of this dark, post-apocalyptic road warrior type world. The world has healed itself. We're in an optimistic future. And that's something else that's very much worth pointing out about the show. This is not some, you know, dark, dreary show. This is an optimistic show that has that, you know, positive, fun, optimistic feeling that makes it a very entertaining show. So the thematic stuff that you're talking about is there, but I think it's always storytelling and great characters, I think, comes first, but the metaphor is definitely there.
Speaking of what happens, as you wait to see how this series does on the CW, what other TV shows or projects are all three of these companies working on?
We have a couple of things that we can't announce yet. You know, Vital Signs has a movie going in the fall based on a classic sci-fi short story that's never been turned into a film. I know that Starlings has just announced a couple of projects, including a project with Robert Rodriguez. Radioactive Fish Tank also has a couple of projects that they're about to announce, but deals aren't done, so things can't be announced.
So, bottom line, stay tuned. It's coming soon to a TV set near you, maybe a smart TV set near you. You never know. In the meantime, the opening episode of Pandora premieres tomorrow night on the CW, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Check your local listings in the CW station area here in New York, of course, is WPH TV Channel 11. And if you'd like to know more about the show online, here's where you go, www.cwtv.com. That's www.cwtv.com. Pandora. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, on your local CW station.
A number of us will be live tweeting during it as well,
go ahead, Tom. Please tune in. I'm sorry, say that again. We still got overlapped.
I said a number of us will be live tweeting during the show as well. So, you know, please watch along with us on Twitter.
And please respond to Tom and crew and Mark and Sarah would love to have your feedback. And again, the production companies that are doing the show are Radioactive Fish Tank, Vital Signs Entertainment, and Starling Television. By the way, also in the cast beside Patricia Quintana are Oliver Dench, Rochelle Bano, John Harlan Kim, and Ben Radcliffe, and a whole lot more. Tom Vital, great to have you in the program. Reconnect this way. All the very best to you and everybody involved, Mark included, with the series and hopefully first of many, many more seasons to come.
Thank you, Simon, and congratulations on your 12 years, and I wish you all the best going into your 13th year.
Thank you. Looking forward to it in a big way. This field of TV keeps on transforming, and people like you make it happen. Tom, it's been a pleasure. All the greatest. Take care.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tom Vitale, executive producer of Pandora of the CW, joining me live here in New York. More from Wabi Televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. One of the big anticipated TV series of 2020 is National Geographic's adaptation of the best-selling book by Tom Wolfe, The Right Stuff. If you've never seen the book, you can hear it now through Audible.com, narrated by none other than Dennis Quaid. And that can be one of the three audiobooks you choose in a trial subscription at audibletrial.com/televised. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 100,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, including wherever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. And don't forget, the 180,000 titles plus includes a growing number of titles of Audible Originals, their original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater, and one-woman, one-man shows, all for you. And when you get that trial run, you can get two audiobooks from the Audible Originals catalog, plus another, and that one-month trial of service, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. By the way, happy Prime Day, day one of two for Audible's parent. So hear for yourself why Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. AudibleTrial.com/televised, that's your place to go. Coming up in our next half hour, classic trivia question of the week. But first, we're going live to Fort Worth, Texas, and we're going to find out about a great event every year that's now getting the gavel to gavel, or should I say bronco to bronco treatment, the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo, courtesy of the Cowboy Channel. Cowboy Channel's Jacob Joe Lavero joins us live from Fort Worth after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradioandspeaker.com, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR's host of Trek Talking, it's the star Trek Talk Show on radio. Check it out this Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Trek Talking here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Don't forget Best BTR Speaker 24/7 available for you at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Eyes of July 2019. Tom Applebaum with you live from New York, 84 degrees top of the hour. Happy to have you aboard for the program All About Television. Another great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead, and we invite you as always to be interactive with us. Make the call go, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. In the last few months, we have had game-to-game coverage, if you will, of some of the biggest sports events in New York and around the world, or I should say the USA and around the world. Wimbledon, which just completed this past weekend, with an incredible match between Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic. What an event, almost 5 hours long. The U.S. Women's World Cup team doing their thing in the soccer tournament that's held every 4 years. The U.S. Open, we've got the British Open coming up, the Tiger Woods getting ready for, and a whole lot more. There's one event, though, that's been around for decades that has never gotten that treatment, but it will starting this Friday. It's the annual Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo. And anyone who knows in the rodeo world will tell you that is the granddaddy of rodeo events, taking place every year in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Starting this Friday, the Cowboy Channel, which is available to about 45 million viewers around the country by cable, satellite, smart TV sets and devices and so forth, will be presenting live coverage of that event from start to finish. Joining us live from Fort Worth, Texas, to talk about it is one of the executives of the Cowboy Channel and the overseer of this particular coverage, Joe Lavero. Joe, thanks for coming on.
Hey, Simon. Thanks for having me on. By the way, I watched every minute of that Federer and Djokovic match, and it was fantastic. But I guarantee you that the Cheyenne coverage will be far more exciting.
I can tell you perfectly, it is. I've seen bits and clips. I remember, I think, a long time ago, CBS Sports Spectacular did a segment on the Frontier Days Rodeo. It was like a great little highlight thing, maybe one event covered on tape. By the way, we have two new listeners, by the way, in our chat room. SimonApple04 by name. Welcome to the room. If you have a question or comment, make the call or put your comments in the chat room, and we will get to them. How long has your network considered doing full-time live coverage of this event?
Oh, well, it's been over a year. I'm sure that Patrick Gotch, the founder of our network, would tell you that he's wanted Cheyenne since the day he started a network. And but this specific conversation for the Cowboy Channel started well over a year ago, and it was in December of this past year during the National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas that Patrick finalized the deal with Tom Hersig and Cheyenne and with the PRCA to cover all 9 days. This is the first time ever that all 9 days will be nationally televised, and we're really excited for the Cowboy Channel to be the first to bring Cheyenne. As you said, it's the daddy of them all, and we're bringing it to people. It's been 123 years. This is the 123rd edition of Cheyenne Frontier Days, so it's about time that they have wall-to-wall TV coverage.
What makes this event such an iconic event for Western culture? Is it the scope of the event? Is it it's been around for over a century? Is it because of the location, Cheyenne, Wyoming, that we rarely see on a national level? Maybe we've seen it in movies like John Ford movies like Cheyenne Autumn, I remember way back when. What makes this event so special to the point where it's like the big event that every rodeo performer wants to go to?
Well, I think it's all of the above. I mean, first to location, yeah, Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Wyoming is the cowboy state, and Cheyenne, some years ago, it was defined as where the sidewalk ends and the west begins. So I think that the geography, the setting of Cheyenne, Wyoming is part of it. But just through the years, there have been a lot of memorable moments, both famous and infamous. It's 30 years ago this year that Lane Frost lost his life at Cheyenne. And Lane Frost was a legendary bull rider. This year is 30 years since that event. And, you know, there's just incredible history attached to this rodeo, unlike any other, truly. And the Cowboys will tell you that it's their favorite place to go and compete. I mean, of course, the NFR, the National Finals Rodeo, is every December in Las Vegas. And there's something special about that time of year. And, of course, that's the World Series of Rodeo. But this event, I think, is the one that everybody circles as the one that they like to win, the one that they look forward to pulling into Cheyenne and seeing. The just seems like miles and miles of horse trailers. And it's just it's a spectacle unlike any other, I think, throughout the world of sports.
How many hours a day starting Friday will you be devoting to coverage?
Well, it'll be a total of 7 hours, but it'll play like this. Our coverage will begin at 3:00 Eastern. We'll be live from Cheyenne, and we're doing something really unique in that we will have our coverage from Cheyenne, but our announcers are going to be in our Cowboy Channel studios in Fort Worth, Texas. And so the fact that we're able to bring the feed in to our studio and add our graphics and add our look and the way that we break down rodeo, I think, unlike, you know, it's ever been broken down before with our announcers. Justin McKee and Joe Beaver will head our coverage every day. Amy Wilson will be on location in Cheyenne to do interviews and to host from that position. But Justin and Joe will head the coverage in our studio, and then they'll be joined by a legend of the game every day. So we're going to have Donnie Gay, 8-time world champion bull rider. We're going to have Luke Branquino, 5-time world champion steer wrestler. We're going to have the greatest living cowboy, Larry Mahan, is going to join the coverage on Sunday, July 21st. And Larry has great memories of Cheyenne and great success there. And so it'll be really cool to get the perspective of all these different cowboys on, you know, their own, you know, personal history of Cheyenne, but bringing it into the modern day to add their analysis, I think is going to be coverage unlike rodeo seen before.
The Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo, first time ever, live bronco to bronco, steer to steer, bull to bull coverage, if you will, and it all kicks off this Friday, July 19th, runs to July 28th on the Cowboy Channel. The network available on cable, satellite, smart TV sets, smart TV device, etc. To over 45, maybe 50 million viewers. So chances are it's an area near you. We've got the executive from the Cowboy Channel, Joe Lavero, who is supervising the coverage. That starts on Friday. He's with us live from Cowboy Channel's headquarters in Fort Worth, Texas, this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Albom will be live from New York. If you have a question or comment for Joe, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple049. Don't forget, next week on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, we'll have three episodes for you, usually at this hour. That's 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Monday, special episode Wednesday and Friday. We'll let you know on Friday who our guests will be. That's next Monday, Wednesday, and Friday as we pick up speed toward wrapping up year 12 of the program All About Television this very July. Joe, what are some of the events that people are going to see throughout the coverage period? And is it such where each day is devoted to a specific event, or is there going to be like a mix-up of events every day?
Well, we'll be covering all of the pro rodeo events. So it's the traditional events, but this year from bareback to bull riding, just like you described with barrel racing. But this year they've added breakaway roping, which is a women's pro rodeo event. And breakaway roping has really burst onto the scene in the past year. This year we produce both the event and the broadcast of the American Rodeo at AT&T Stadium, which is the first weekend of March. And we've done the American at AT&T with Jerry Jones for the past 6 years. And this past year was our sixth edition, and we added breakaway roping, and it was a huge success. But we had so many entrants, and we imagine that this year we'll have over 500 that will try and qualify for breakaway roping. So women's pro rodeo is really on the rise. And we had a fantastic winner, a young lady by the name of Madison Uthier, a 16-year-old from South Texas, won the big prize. She won $110,000 for three efforts combining in about 12 seconds. So not bad for a 16-year-old. She went home to high school that following week and had a big check to show off her show and tell when she got back to school. So that's the latest addition to what is, you know, one of the oldest rodeos, breakaway roping. But I suspect, Simon, that you're going to see breakaway added to so many rodeos. And we're doing a rodeo in New York City next June 2020, Rodeo New York. And we're adding breakaway roping, the women's event, in addition to barrel racing, to the rodeo at Madison Square Garden next June. And we're really excited to add it to all of our events.
That's fantastic. How fast growing is the women's side of rodeo or events like Frontier Days?
I think it's just like you see throughout the world of sports. And obviously the women's national soccer team this year just captured the imagination of hopefully all Americans and inspired all Americans. I think you're seeing young women that want to grow up to be professional athletes. And in the rodeo world, it's no different. And I think over the next couple few decades, you're going to find women taking over rodeo. It's quite a phenomenon right now, but I suspect it will only grow. And we hope that the interest and passion for Western sports will only grow. And I think that's going to be, gender equal.
The people at Cheyenne Frontier Days not only call this a rodeo, they call it a Western celebration. How much of the celebration side, the non-rodeo side of this, is going to be showcased in your coverage?
That's a great question, and we're looking to really add a lot of flavor. I mean, you know, part of the task that Patrick gave me is bring people there. Give them a look, you know, inspire them to want to go. For a lot of people, Cheyenne Frontier Days is on their bucket list, you know, of a place that they need to get to, an event that they need to get to. And so we hope to showcase as much of the fairgrounds and the goings-on above and beyond the rodeo. And we're hoping to interview some of the big music acts that are going to be there. And it's quite a range from Post Malone to Miranda Lambert. Every night they have a big music act that plays Cheyenne Frontier Days. So we're hoping to capture as much of that as possible and interview some of those big music acts and really showcase the fairgrounds and all there is to do in Cheyenne during those 10 full days.
Obviously, this is a big undertaking for your network, maybe the biggest ever in terms of a live event. And it's also a big gamble on the part of Cheyenne Frontier Days because they are now exposing their total event to the American public. What kind of cooperation are the Frontier Day people giving you and you giving them to really ensure that the viewer gets as total a view, as total a portrait of this event as possible?
Full cooperation. Tom Hersick and his team have worked shoulder to shoulder with us in building our plan and building our production and promoting it. They're promoting us, we're promoting them. I'd say we're perfect partners. And from the moment I met Tom and got a chance to shake his hand, I just knew I liked this guy. And I know that he's rooting for me to succeed and vice versa. And we're doing everything we can to support their event and our broadcast of it. I think, you know, we were fast friends, and I think the broadcast, you know, from year one and hopefully from day one is going to demonstrate that we've all been working very closely in lockstep together to get, you know, to bring it to the people. We want to bring it to the masses. They're going to have tens of thousands on the grounds every day, but we want to take it to millions and really expose this great event and this great Western sport, this great sport, to more people.
Yeah. Of all the events that the rodeo is going to have. Is there one event that sort of is under the radar screen now that this coverage will finally bring out for people that they've never heard of, but this might be something that as, if more people know about this, this could have a great future?
Well, you know, one of them was the breakaway, as I mentioned, but I think barrel racing is really exciting. It's, you know, it's fast paced. They're beautiful horses. The racers are really great personalities. You know, barrel racing is our Kentucky Derby. And I think it's really fun. And our coverage of it through the years has really grown. We've added a lot of technology to it. My background, I grew up at NBC and CBS Sports, and I did a lot of individual sports. And one of them was skiing. And there's technology that we use in skiing that I've applied to barrel racing that makes it look as though we call it ghost cam, as if two racers are going at the same time. We sort of overlay the run so you can see where one got the advantage over the other. NASCAR is now using that. I think they call it ghost cam as well. That type of technology applied to a sport that is already so fast and fun, and the horses are, you know, they're superstars. There's a young lady named Haley Kinzel who right now is, you know, far and away the number one racer, and it's because of sheer horsepower. She has a horse named Sister that is an equine superstar and truly a star in the rodeo world. So I think barrel racing is having a moment, and rightfully so. But, you know, I'm a fan of all eight of the, you know, traditional pro rodeo events. You know, I joke that I'm Joe from Jersey. I grew up on the East Coast, a fan of traditional sports. I'm a big Philadelphia sports fan, but somehow I got pulled into bull riding and rodeo and Western sports, and I love it. And, you know, my background in more mainstream sports, I've applied things that we've done in mainstream sports to rodeo, and it fits, and they deserve it. These are athletes. The horses that they ride are incredible athletes. The bulls and Bronx and bareback horses that they ride are remarkable athletes. I mean, that challenge rivals any in the world of sports. And that's what we're trying to do, is showcase how you know, impactful incredible this effort is that these athletes make week in and week out. I mean, rodeo is as rigorous as any sport in the wide world of sports. There's no question about it.
Before we move on, how are things going in terms of getting major advertising support for this coverage?
Well, this is, you know, like any first time, this is a almost sort of a pilot episode of what we can do. Our great hope is that this will be a calling card for the other rodeos and for sponsors, both, you know, current partners and new partners that we're hoping to bring in, both to our network and to the sport. And the response so far has been really good, but there is some proving ground to be done. And, you know, a lot of our traditional partners have stepped up and are supporting the broadcast. And we're hoping that this will, you know, be a launching pad for some new partners, again, both for the network and for the event and for PRCA Rodeo.
The Cheyenne Country Days Rodeo, a very special event for the Cowboy Chat, which was at live coverage starting this Friday from Cheyenne, Wyoming, the home of one of the great iconic events in rodeo and also in all of Western celebratory culture. And the Cowboy Channel is available, as I said, on nearly 50 million households, viewing households, through cable, satellite, smart TV sets, smart devices, etc. Joey Rivero is the Cowboy Channel executive who's also overseeing the coverage. He's with us live from the Cowboy Channel headquarters in Fort Worth, Texas, for a few more minutes here this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Coming up, only live from New York. If you have a question or comment for Joe, bring it in, 646-652-2906. Use our chat room, SimonApple04, by name. Get your pen and pencils ready. Classic trivia question coming up in a few minutes. And you could win a wonderful pair of magnet dioramas from the upcoming Discovery Channel miniseries, there and getting it. Don't forget, coming Friday on Smart Be Televised, special 2-hour edition, we've got Ryan Harrington and Isaac Himmelman. They're the creators of the series best winning, best comedy pilot, Brooklyn Moving Company. From the new PBS special, Sid Caesar on the language of comedy, executive producer and Comedy Hall of Fame director Jeff Panzer. From the unexplained, the new A&E series made Friday night, narrated by William Shatner, executive producer Kevin Burns. And from the Amazon Top Spies and the acclaimed program, New Voices, managing director Christine Cahill. Big 2-hour edition starting at 3:10 Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. As you go into this event, where is the Cowboy Channel in terms of the kind of programming you're doing and how the audience is reacting to it?
Well, the Cowboy Channel has been in existence for about a year and a half now, and I would say that this programming, this coverage of Cheyenne Frontier Days is effectively a relaunch. I joined the company in February of this year, and we are in the final stages of building a new studio here, which will be the home of the broadcast. So this is effectively a relaunch. And so July 20th, I'm sorry, I do have to correct you, that our coverage, the rodeo starts on July 19th, but our coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on July 20th. So we're covering all 9 days of the rodeo. So July 20th is Saturday, July 20th is effectively a relaunch of the network. And this is the type of programming that you're going to see on, effectively what is the new Cowboy Channel. We're out of this new studio, we'll be doing studio programming, studio sports center style highlight shows dedicated to Western sports and lifestyle and Western music. There's 370 seats in our studio in Fort Worth. We have the ability to bring in some big music acts and not only, play them for a local crowd here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but broadcast them to our national television audience. And so we're really excited about what this new facility is going to provide for us, both, again, as a venue here in Fort Worth, but as a, television studio for not only the Cowboy Channel, but for RFD TV. We can do programming for both networks out of this studio in Fort Worth.
Both networks have had a great history, especially RFD-TV, which was the first out of the block, and they really have served a wonderful audience that sometimes we do overlook in the TV industry and I think deserves more attention, whether it's Middle America or even the suburbs of the great American cities, the interest in the kind of culture that is showcased on both services. What do you see as the future of particularly with Cowboy Channel? Do you see scripted programming at all? Whether it's comedy or drama getting in, or children's programming, or game shows, what do you and Patrick and everybody involved see as the future of the network?
I think it's a line, but I think truly the sky's the limit. I mean, Patrick's charge to me and everybody on our team here is you have a blank canvas, so go fill it up, make a beautiful painting. Let's look at all options. We want it to be sports programming. We want it to be entertainment. We're looking at original programming, mostly non-scripted, but we're certainly open to scripted. I'd like to bring back some of the great old Westerns and have those on certain nights and maybe have a movie night that shows a great old Western. I'm an Italian from New Jersey, so how about the spaghetti Westerns? I think there's a world of possibilities for a network like ours, and we're open. But, Patrick always describes our new studio it's almost as if Fort Worth, he wants us to imagine that Fort Worth is Bristol, Connecticut 30 years ago. And so the studio is really our flagship. And so the bulk of our original programming over the next 6 months to a year will be out of the studio. And if you look at how SportsCenter was built, over 30 years ago, it was much the same, that they pretty much started with SportsCenter, and that became the revenue generator that created this monster that's now the worldwide leader in sports. We're hoping to follow that model somewhat and do a similar thing. But certainly, we're open to all programming that caters to and is passionate about the Western way. And, we want to produce kind of, to a code, to the cowboy code. And if you look at the cowboy ethic, there's 10 points that speak to the cowboy way. And so we want to produce the cowboy way into the Western way of life and people that love and are passionate about that. That's the main mission. I think, you know, all those dots or all those blanks that you laid out, I think all of them will be filled in ultimately.
A new era for the Cowboy Channel starts this Saturday when the Cheyenne Frontier Dave Rodeo goes live with very special coverage each of the days of the 9 days of that very special rodeo event. The event still begins on Friday, but the coverage of the Cowboy Channel live from Fort Worth, Texas and from Cheyenne, Wyoming begins on Saturday. Check your local list where the Cowboy Channel is available in your area on cable and satellite or available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. More details about the network and this special coverage online, here's where you go. www.thecowboychannel.com. It's www.thecowboychannel.com. And having seen clips over the years of the Cheyenne Rodeo, let me tell you something. If you catch it over that time period, you are in for a very special experience. It really is an amazing, amazing celebration of Western culture and Western sports. Joe Lavello, executive at the Cowboy Channel, executive of this coverage, thanks again for joining us. All the very best to you and your team for making this happen. And hopefully, like you said, the beginning of a major new era for your network.
Thanks so much, Simon. I really appreciate the time and the great promotion. Thanks again.
You're welcome, Joe. Let's stay in touch. Love after Patrick as well. All the greatest.
Thank you. Bye now.
Joe Lavello, executive at the Cowboy Channel, joining us live from the headquarters in Fort Worth, Texas. Before we go, here's our classic trivia question of the week. Get your pen and paper handy. Here's the question. Who played McKeever on the NBC series from 1962-63, McKeever and the Colonel? Alan Jocelyn played the Colonel. Who played McKeever? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you first get the correct answer, you will win a pair of magnet dioramas from the upcoming Discovery Channel miniseries, Serengeti, premiering next month. I've seen this list. It's an amazing program. Very welcome to be in the hunt for both Emmys and Peabody's next year. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to close your name and where you're emailing from. If you missed the question, we'll post tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks so much for both of our guests for being with us, Joe Lavero, Tom Vitale, all the very best with their respective projects. Remember, coming on Friday, special two-hour edition, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern, noon to 2 Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Next week, we're on three times, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com. Televised, check out the podcast on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast app, and iHeartRadio.com. And let us know what you think about the show and where things stand in the TV world. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants. Those of the Block Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and Speaker. Our production associate BTR is Candace Williams. Any Toes Block Talk Radio's general manager, Jay Stomberg, executive content producer, and co-founders Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow, Televised is brought to you by Audible.com. An Amazon company, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival. Remember, all will transform the way you hear the world. For a trio of great audiobooks and a one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. And don't forget today and tomorrow, Amazon Prime Day. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your day and your week. We are back on Friday, BTM Eastern New Pacific special two-hour edition right here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, on the Air Radio Podcast Network. Whatever you are up to this day and the rest of this week, please make it safe and make it great. Please think great thoughts for all the people dealing with the aftermath of Tropical Depression Valley in Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, et cetera, et cetera. Hang in there. We are all pulling for you. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.